backfield. Buying more time. Now in trouble. Rolling to his right. Looking down the field. Throws back against his body. Incomplete. And maybe even intercepted. It won't matter. It goes incomplete. And Iowa State's going to take over the football. The Cyclones knock off number 3, Oklahoma. 38-31. Their first win in Norman in 27 years.
That's the way you heard it on Saturday. John Walters with the call here on KGYM and the Learfield Radio Network. Welcome in, Scott Unash, Mark Dukes. It is a gym class here on 1600 AM coming your way today, as on our FM signals, 107.5 and 106.3 FM today. We continue with ESPN's coverage of Chicago Cubs baseball and the Washington Nationals Game 3 from Wrigley Field. And that will get underway in just a couple of minutes. We got a big sports day for you here as far as local programming is concerned, because we're going to kick around Iowa State and Oklahoma, Iowa and Illinois as well. But live sports today, of course, going on right now, Nats and the Cubs. And then coming up for you tonight at 7 o'clock, and I know a lot of people want to tune into this because it's going to be a lot of fun, 1600 AM. It'll be the Cyclone call-in show. And, of course, fall back from what happened in Norman as Iowa State gets their first win over Oklahoma in 27 years. So that will be coming up tonight. And that is, of course, brought to you by Lisa Nolan, a RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts Realtor, online at lisanolanrealtor.com. We will also have for you tonight Monday Night Football, which has a little bit of Midwest interest, as the Chicago Bears take on the Minnesota Vikings tonight. And we'll have it for you on 107.5 and 106.3 FM coming up for you at 7 o'clock. And then at 8, about 8:35 or so, right after the Cyclone call-in show, we'll have more baseball coming your way as the Dodgers try to close out the Arizona Diamondbacks in Game 3 of the NLDS, and that will be on 1600 AM tonight. Did you get all that, Mark?
You want to take a breath, Scott?
I'd like to. Man, a lot. You know, this is a great time of the year. I'm not going to say it's not.
Sure is.
It is a fantastic time of the year. But, man alive, is it tough to try to figure things out, because it changes each day. We don't know what's happening tomorrow yet, because if the Astros come back to beat the Red Sox, then it changes start times. So we're kind of going day by day here. We're like everybody out there. Mm-hmm. And then you got the NFL, which can't keep a superstar on the field. So, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And you played that clip, John Walters calling the end of that Iowa State-Oklahoma game. What a game it was. I'm not sure you can find the superlatives to describe it, but what a tremendous, tremendous win for the Cyclones. The signature win in Matt Campbell's career. Storylines, Kyle Kemp comes from third string to lead the team to victory at quarterback. Joel Lanning playing both ways. Alan Lazard with a national moment for him, which he really deserves.
Made him a lot of money, that catch, I think.
But we'll talk to Mike Alas about it. John Walters will appear on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn today. We have a poll question, KGYMradio.com. Was last Saturday's win in Norman the biggest in Iowa State history? Yes or no? Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Were you there, Norman, the last time Iowa State beat Oklahoma? Were you covering in 1990?
I was not.
Okay.
The last time I was in Norman was during the Donnie Duncan era.
The Alex Giffords game?
Yes, Dwayne Crutchfield right, Dwayne Crutchfield left. Iowa State moves down the field and gets into very manageable field goal range. It's a 10-10 game, and Alex Giffords missed what was virtually a chip shot, and that game ended in a tie. There was no overtime during those days, but that was around 80, 81, I would guess. I'd have to look back, but that's the closest I ever saw Iowa State to defeating Oklahoma in Norman. So certainly is shaken up the college football world. Oklahoma dropping to number 12 in the coaches poll, and all of a sudden the Big Ten has three top 10 teams.
Yes, it does. And the other thing about it, you take a look at the rankings, Iowa State getting votes, and like you said in the sports office, in the AP poll anyway, when was the last time Iowa State got more votes than the Iowa Hawkeyes? It has been a while since that has happened. But AP poll, that did happen, and the coaches poll went a little bit the other way, Iowa, with one more vote than Iowa State. But good to see the two in-state schools getting a little bit of love. Iowa State, by the way, and Iowa both announcing start times for games. Iowa State, Texas Tech, which is now huge game. Huge game in Lubbock. That's going to be an 11 o'clock start a week from Saturday. Iowa State, Kansas, and we'll talk with Paul Clark coming up on Wednesday about that. We're going to talk with the Kansas beat writer coming up tomorrow. That is going to be an 11 o'clock game as well. And Iowa at Northwestern coming up a week from this Saturday, because Iowa's on a bye this week. That will also be an 11 o'clock game announced today.
319-366-1600. That's our phone line and our Hertzing and Stocker Jewelers text line. 319-366-1600. Mike at 3844. I'm sorry, Mike, I can't read part of your text as it gets a little personal towards John Walters, but Mike's calling it a lucky win for Iowa State.
There was no luck involved. And I say that because it's a Disney movie win for this one. I really think that. Really a Disney-type movie because... You couldn't sell it to Hollywood. Iowa State's quarterback stays home.
Mm-hmm.
Third-string quarterback comes in. And third-string quarterback comes in, has basically never taken a worthwhile snap in his career.
Former walk-on.
Kyle Kemp. And then all of a sudden, he's leading the team down the field. Then you got Joel Lanning on top of that, who has moved from quarterback to middle linebacker, has put up gaudy numbers at middle linebacker, comes back, plays both ways, and looks good on offense and defense, and is a National Defensive Player of the Week.
I'd like to know what was lucky about it.
I can't buy that. I watched a good portion of that game, and Iowa State, Oklahoma went out to the big two-touchdown lead. And I think Oklahoma decided, it's Iowa State, and they're going to roll over again. And Iowa State never gave up. And back they came. And lo and behold, Iowa State hit big plays, made some stops, and the Cyclones come up with the win. Amazing.
If you haven't taken a look, go to social media, call up a Twitter account, something Iowa State football related, and get the video of what was the post-game celebration and Matt Campbell's speech to his team. And I found it very interesting. Iowa State or someone at Iowa State wanted to have a welcoming
party. That's probably Cyclone Jerry.
And Matt Campbell declined it. And I think it was a hell of a move on his part, because he's trying to build this program into one that, you know, may not expect to win types of games such as this, but there's bigger fish to fry in Matt Campbell's pan, I think.
What do you think out there? 319-366-1600, the Hertzing and Stocker Jewelers text line. And again, that's 319-366-1600, coming your way on 1600 AM today. Love to hear from Cyclone Tim, Matt. Cyclone fans we know out there. What do you think? Biggest win ever? Biggest win in a long time? I remember Iowa State knocking off Nebraska, the famous Marvin Seiler game that they referenced a lot on Saturday, but one of the biggies.
John Quinn won a big game in Nebraska at quarterback for Iowa State.
Yes, he did.
Back in the day as well. You know, that Friday night win over Oklahoma State, that was at home. And the fact that, for the reasons you outlined, Scott, on the road with a backup quarterback and a lot of adversity, I think this one ranks above that game.
319-366-1600. We got people all lining up here on the phone lines, and we do like to see that. We'll keep you updated on what's going on with the Major League Baseball games as well, as we have going on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. The Cubs just underway with the Washington Nationals right now at Wrigley Field. In Boston, at the end of 7, holding on to a 3-2 lead over the Houston Astros, trying to stay alive. Interestingly enough, Chris Sale is pitching now for the Boston Red Sox. And Justin Verlander came in, gave up a 2-run home run in relief for the Houston Astros. So maybe that one's destined to go five games. We shall see right here. Let's go to the phones. Bring in Steve from Cedar Rapids to start things off on a Monday. Steve, welcome in. How you doing? Except I have to hit that button there. Hi, Steve.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I was down at that Oklahoma-Iowa State game.
Oh, cool.
And I just thought it was interesting how many... am I echoing?
No, not to us. You may hear some feedback on your end, though.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, no, I just thought it was interesting how many Cedar Rapids area kids were in that game.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Bryce Meeker, Julian Good-Jones.
Landon Akers.
Landon Akers, exactly.
Yeah. What were your expectations going down there, Steve?
Well, how it started out, 14-0, not very high. But, I mean, I think they believe in what they're doing. So, I mean, I think the ceiling's as high as they want to take it.
Absolutely, absolutely. What was the how many Iowa Staters were down there in Norman that made the trip?
I would say 600, maybe 500, right around there.
Mm. Okay. All right. And the celebration may still be going on.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. But, like, I talked to a couple of the players, and they said it was a big win, but they kind of expected to win. I mean, they were confident about it. Not cocky, but confident.
Sure.
It must have been if they took the Iowa flag with them, Steve.
Yeah. I'm not sure if the coaches loved that, but I think it got the point across. I think it was great for, you know, just representing Iowa as a whole.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, glad you had a good time down there, Steve. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. 319-366-1600. That is Steve. And let's go to Jim up in Northeast Iowa. Wants to talk about Iowa State's win. Hi, Jim.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
What's up?
Okay. You kind of wanted to know the feelings of some of us up here about Iowa State. Obviously, I'm elated about their huge win, but I just have to go back to Coach Campbell, how he is starting to lay the foundation of a solid program. I believe he's doing it the right way. I guess my biggest concern, and I hope I'm really premature on this, I think this individual is something special in the coaching ranks. Mm. He does it the right way. He doesn't take the accolades himself. He passes it off to the team. What a team effort. And my biggest concern is, can we keep him here in the state of Iowa?
Yeah.
With wins like this, down the road, when are these big schools going to say, this guy's something special and we can build a program with him?
It's a legitimate concern, Jim.
Pardon me?
That's a legitimate concern, I think.
Well, yeah, like I say, I personally hope that's several years down the road, because he's laying a super foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and talk about doing it the right way, Jim, and appreciate the call. Thank you very much out there. 319-366-1600. I said it last year, talking with the high school coaches around here. Matt Campbell came in, did it the right way. First of all, he got the kids interested, got them excited. The way you get kids excited these days, different helmets, different uniforms. All the Twitter stuff, all the bang for your buck type of thing. Maybe that's a bad term for what's going on right now as far as the college basketball world is concerned. But you know what I mean. All the glitz and glitter of how to get your program going. Went out, got in touch with all the Iowa football coaches, the Iowa high school football coaches. Went in and said, we aren't going to back down from the University of Iowa when it comes to in-state recruiting. And I think that got away from Paul Rhodes a little bit toward the end.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, came into Cedar Rapids, Washington, plucked out Orion Vance. Big, big get right there for Iowa State, even though he's not on the field, but he's going to be. Trust me on that.
Mm-hmm.
And just getting others like that around the state of Iowa, especially from the eastern part of the state of Iowa, which Iowa State has not done real well with over the past couple decades.
Well, the big challenge now is what lies ahead, and immediately it's Kansas, and you would think Iowa State should win that game. It's a 3-touchdown favorite. Can this team get to at least 6-6 and get to a bowl game? That's the big challenge now. Can it win 3 more games to get to that point. I personally think it can, but it remains to be seen. On the text line, 8721, I'm an Iowa fan. Kudos for Iowa State. Good for them.
And Iowa fans should be happy because you've been complaining for how many years about Iowa State not being relevant?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Iowa State was named the national team of the week, for whatever that's worth. That was the biggest story on Saturday, was Iowa State beating Oklahoma. And I think a lot of Hawkeye fans now feel a little bit better about the Cy-Hawks series continuing on a little bit. Now, like our caller said, like Jim said, they got to keep it going now. Iowa State can't go into Lawrence and lose this week.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got Texas Tech in a couple weeks, and Iowa State gets those two, pretty good shot that Iowa State's going to go to a bowl game coming up.
31-35 on the text line. The biggest disappointment was the Cedar Rapids Gazette coverage. Nothing on the front page about the Iowa State win.
You want to address that? You're a newspaper guy.
Well, Mike Loss could address it too, but I think I know the answer to that. And I actually got a personal email from an Iowa State fan today asking me why Iowa State was on the third page. And it's pretty simple, because the Gazette has committed to a four-page, what's called a wrap, a four-page wrap each and every Sunday after an Iowa game. And I don't think those pages can be reconfigured deadline-wise or otherwise. So the best of the next news, or maybe some of the best news, is going to fall to page three. Now, to the Gazette's credit, on page 1A, it had a banner at the top with a picture of Iowa State describing the victory. Michael Osh can elaborate on that if he chooses, but that's my understanding, that the Gazette has committed to that wrap, and the rest of the news will be inside each and every day.
True.
Or each and every Sunday that Iowa plays.
And I will reiterate on that. 321 here, by the way. Chris Sale's given up a home run, and that to Bergman, and the Astros have tied it up 3-3 in the top of the eighth inning. You're asking an awful lot for Chris Sale to throw five innings today on his in-between pitching day, where you usually just get loose a little bit. So that, and he was throwing a lot of junk there in the last inning, a lot of off-speed stuff that Chris Sale doesn't usually throw. So we'll see how that plays out. But it's now 3-3, top of the eighth inning, Astros and the Red Sox. Cubs, Nats on 107.5, 106.3 FM. They are scoreless in the bottom of the first inning right now. We're going to talk to Michael Loss. We haven't even mentioned the Hawkeyes yet. And we're 22 minutes into the show here this afternoon. And Iowa gets a win over Illinois, a win that wasn't real assured, I think, until the back half of the third quarter and definitely into the fourth quarter. I know you guys talked about it on Saturday down at Coach's Corner in Iowa City, but it was a lot of pins and needles there for a while. It looked like Jeff George Sr. there for a little bit.
Yeah, I called it uneven in the first half, and even it just didn't feel like the right team was leading for part of that half. And then into the third quarter, until Brandon Snyder's 89-yard interception return, it changed the game. And Iowa really actually played a pretty solid second half. But for a half there, and I don't know why this is, but Iowa has a penchant for starting slow. And it's bitten them, and it probably will bite them again if it continues. But in the end, it's what appears to be a relatively easy victory over a team that you're favored by considerable margins. So.
And getting better. Illinois, I thought, looked better than they did in that game Saturday, surely, than the Nebraska game. I think they made the right move bringing in Jeff George Jr. A lot of young talent on that Illinois team. Epstein's going to be a really good back. If they can bring in another recruiting class for Lovie Smith like this one, Illinois is going to make some noise in a couple years.
If 67-39 on the text line, if Iowa loses to Northwestern, they will go 6-6. It's tough giving up 200 yards rushing to a bad Illinois team. No question, the defense has to be shored up. It's been good situationally in games, but by and large, this defense is giving up a lot of yards, over 400 yards total offense to Illinois. And I think everybody going forward is a better team than Illinois.
True.
On Iowa's schedule.
Very much so. 319-366-1600. That's the Hurtine & Stocker text line. Phone lines buzzing as well here on a Monday. Other things are happening. Of course, the National Football League going on. Before we talk about that, though, let's get to the Carl Nerney's Pick 6, brought to you by Carl Nerney's Good Time Pub & Grub in Iowa City on Highway 1 West. And I don't know who hitched their wagon to young Alex Kuhn this week. But
Daryl from Marion.
Daryl. Well, Daryl, you're going to get a $30 gift card to Carl Nerney's, because Alex went 6-0 this week. He edged me.
Hey, you had a good week, 5-1.
Did have a good week. Yeah. I needed a good week. We didn't have a good... I mean, the panel did well. This is one of the best weeks, I think, put together for the panel. Over 500.
Todd Brommelkamp showed Alex Kuhn is... moved into a one-game lead over the gym class.
They're surging, aren't they?
After we had held a six-game lead.
Well, it's early. It's early.
Try to get back to him this Friday. Back at him this Friday.
Alex 6-0. I was 5-1. Todd was 4-2. And Sean, Mark, and Kyle all 3-3 this week. So not a bad week as far as the panel is concerned. At 25 past the hour of 3, we'll get to the NFL talk coming up here as well. And your thoughts about Iowa State and Oklahoma, as well as Iowa and Iowa State at 319-366-1600. And speaking of Iowa and Illinois, we're going to go to, and this is a nameless person. Kyle has not named him. Illinois fan who was on the 50-yard line. I assume that would be Saturday at Kinnick Stadium joining us. And I said good things about the Illini, man.
Yeah, hey, I appreciate it. The thing I wanted to say on Illinois is that somebody is right in saying they were young. Four of their five offensive linemen are freshmen.
Yep.
And the running back, tight end, and wideout are also freshmen. So 2 years from now, when they come back to Kinnick, I think you're going to see an entirely different team and a team that Iowa isn't going to relish playing.
Well, I think the rest of the Big Ten might not relish playing as well. As an Illinois fan, are you sound like you're satisfied with what Lovie Smith is doing right now.
I'm satisfied. You have to live with George. Three picks and a fumble. That's too much to overcome against a good team like Iowa. What Lovie is doing is that he is getting people that can play in there, as opposed to what he was left, which was basically a roster of about two-thirds MAC players.
Mm-hmm.
The talent wasn't there. That's why freshmen are starting.
I would agree. Well, thanks for the phone call. We do appreciate it.
Okay, appreciate it. Thanks. Bye.
327 here on the program. Good to hear from Illinois fans, and we've hit the array today.
Yes,
Iowa State fan and Norman to an Illinois fan talking about future looking bright for the Illini right here at 327.
Lost a couple sports figures over the weekend.
Yes,
one,
we did.
Connie Hawkins, NBA Hall of Famer, and Y.A. Tittle, a great quarterback back in the 40s, 50s.
In the day.
Really an icon with the New York Giants. But I mean, Connie Hawkins was at Iowa. He was recruited by Sharm Sherman, I think. But he never played at Iowa because in 1961 he was a part of a point-shaving scandal that originated in New York City. And he ended up getting expelled from Iowa and basically blackballed by colleges across the country and the NBA until he sued the NBA and won. And I think it was proven that Hawkins probably was not involved in the point shaving scandal, but nevertheless, there's an Iowa tie there.
Yeah, it is. And of course, Y.A. Tittle, one of the great quarterbacks of all time, just an icon out there, lived a very full life. And boy, two biggies over the weekend. And then you had the NFL over the weekend, my goodness. Boy, the league is suffering today. No Odell Beckham the rest of the year. No J.J. Watt for the rest of the year. Merciless is out for Houston. Travis Kelce, big-time concussion apparently last night for the Kansas City Chiefs. Although he went back in, apparently he had a problem at halftime for from what I read as far as all the Chiefs stuff is concerned. And they're kind of curious about how he's going to come back.
Waiver wire is going to be mighty busy this week, I think, if you're a fantasy football player. And we'll have help for you Wednesday with Chris Luss.
Yeah, that'll be coming up on Wednesday. 3:29, we're going to take a break. It is still 3-3, top of the eighth inning. Two on, two out. Houston and Boston tied up. Cubs and the Nationals are scoreless right now as well. They are in the top of the second inning. That's on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. We're going to take a break. Come back. Mike Loss of the Cedar Rapids Gazette will join us after this here on KGYM.
Referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test to the emergency alert system.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com.
Member NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
Covering Eastern Iowa sports for more than 40 years combined. UNASH and Dukes. The Gym Class on KGYM.
We are back with you at 3:31 here on the Gym Class, coming your way on 1600 AM this afternoon. And don't forget, we got an array of sports coming up for you. 7 o'clock tonight, Cyclone Call-In Show. Actually, 7:05, that'll be on 1600 AM. 7 o'clock on 107.5, 106.3 FM, Monday Night Football, as it'll be the Vikings in Chicago to take on the Bears. And then it'll be the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. Can the Dodgers put away the Diamondbacks tonight? We'll have that at about 8:35 for you. That will be on 1600 AM coming your way tonight. Talking with Mike Loss, sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. He was in Iowa City, but probably like the rest of everybody down there, had one eye on Norman, Oklahoma. And he you can read his stuff at thegazette.com and follow him on Twitter at Halas. And Mike, good afternoon. How are you doing on this sunny Monday?
I'm all right. I guess I got to wonder what kind of sports fan is listening to this instead of watching baseball, but obviously somebody who doesn't like baseball.
Well, hey, everyone's got their niche and everyone's got their thing, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they're doing both. Multitasking.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Multitasking. That's what you do at this time of the year. It's a great time of the year. It's interesting when we were 22 minutes into the hour, and that's when we get into Iowa and Illinois, but Iowa State, deservedly so, they hogged the headlines locally and nationally with that great, great win they had on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it was transcendent. It was the epicenter of college football Saturday was Norman. Nobody saw it coming. Maybe Iowa State's team will tell you it did, but I'm talking about anybody else. Nobody saw that coming. And that's where some of the best moments historically in college football have been made. And I would say that that's going to be a game that people talk about for a long time.
I mean, the circumstances surrounding it, Mike. We learned that Jacob Park, the quarterback, has left the team, albeit briefly. I think he's still a member of the team right now. And had a kid coming in, a walk-on from Massillon, Ohio, and Joel Lanning playing both ways. And you can't write this story.
Hollywood
any better,
wouldn't
can
have
you?
Bought this script.
No. Nobody would have. I mean, what you just said Well, Jacob Park's a good quarterback. I know he didn't have a good game against Texas, but look at what he did in the six or eight games before that. He played well enough in the second half of last season to take the starting quarterback job from Joel Lanning, and nobody really disputed that it was deserved. So he's gone for undisclosed reasons, and you don't even know if Iowa State's got another quarterback on the team other than Lanning, and you can't move Lanning because you need him at linebacker. He's sixth in the nation in tackles. And on top of that, didn't get much attention, but Willie Harvey, one of Iowa State's other linebackers, is a really good player. He didn't make the trip. So, okay, they're going to play this guy, Kemp. I never heard of him, you know. Never heard of him. I was told he threw two passes at Toledo in mop-up, but I knew nothing about him, where he was from, what his backstory was. And he played absolutely beautifully. So you've got that story. And then you've got Lanning, which is just unheard of almost in modern-day football. I realize Jabril Peppers was a two-way player of sorts last year, but he never played quarterback. And here Lanning plays about a dozen snaps at quarterback, throws three passes, runs the ball eight or nine times. He's on special teams for eight plays. And he plays his 57 snaps on defense, recovers a fumble, gets a quarterback sack, makes eight or nine tackles. I mean, this is 1930 stuff. It's absolutely sensational. So those two stories combined, on top of the way that they played, makes for just a wonderful story. And there was no crazy bounce. There was no, you know, there was no controversy. Everybody who left that stadium said the better team won. The better team that day won.
Lanning also drove the bus to the airport, I think. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I heard somebody say today or last night that the flu gets Joel Lanning shot.
They win Twitter today.
Hey, Mike, I don't know if you're listening to the start of the show, but I had a personal email and then a question on our text line about the Gazette's coverage, and hopefully I explained it well by just saying, listen, the department and the paper are committed to this four-page wrap for Iowa after each Sunday, right? Are you add anything more to that?
I've been hearing about that for the last 2 days, and I understand it. I understand it. People don't understand how the business works, but people aren't distinguishing that four-page wrap around Iowa football with the rest of the paper. I'm not even going to try to explain it, because either you get it and accept it, or you simply say, well, that's unacceptable. Okay, fine.
Well, I mean, any story, I mean, God forbid Hayden Fry could have died and he'd have been on page three because of the configuration of things.
Yeah, I know. Actually,
he'd been on 1A, but...
We've been doing it this way for the last decade or so, and once in a great while there's an extraordinary story that you wish you could have pushed, you know, forward, but because of commitments to advertising and so forth, it's just not going to happen.
I'll let you answer our question here, our Emil's Hideaway poll question, Mike. Was that win Saturday the biggest in ISU history?
Yes. I mean, the thing with Oklahoma State in 2011 was a great night, great win. But, you know, you're talking about going on the road, 31-point dog, and you're playing a team that a month earlier had gone to Columbus and owned Ohio State, not just beat them. It was one-sided. They outgained Ohio State by 140 yards, played them off their feet in Columbus. And I think Ohio State's going to be one of the four best teams in the country by the time the season's over. Well, in the second half, in Norman Saturday, Iowa State outscored Oklahoma 25-7. You know, well, again, not a fluke. Absolutely not a fluke. And it was, you know, this wasn't some dog meat Iowa State team. It was just, we knew what the deal was. They hadn't had their breakthrough yet. The week before against Texas, they just didn't have it together on offense. But the defense was really good that night. And it's like, well, geez, if they could have just played a normal offensive game, they would have won that thing. And the defense, though, it gave 500 yards to the Sooners. Oklahoma's got the number one total offense in the country. So you're gonna give something up to those guys, and they've got one of the best players in the country playing quarterback in Baker Mayfield. But defense ruled the day in the second half, and the offense didn't get stopped one single time in the second half. So it was really a fantastic performance, and it was no fluke. So you've got that on top of the situation they were in, and there's no question to me that it was the signature win in the program's history.
Yeah, and the big deal now, Mike, as you know, is where what happens from here on out. And can this team get to six wins or more? What happens from here? Iowa State beat Oklahoma State on that wonderful Friday night in Ames, but really didn't take the next step. So probably no way to predict, Mike, but if you had to guess, is this a springboard to a bowl season?
I think they've got a decent chance. They're going to beat Kansas Saturday, barring an upset the size of the proportions, the one we just saw. So that's four wins. The next six games after that are all hard. You know, they're all hard. But, I mean, you're talking about a team that lost a coin flip game against Iowa, held Texas to 17 points, just won at Oklahoma. Well, why can't they win a few more besides Kansas?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at what they did in the last half of last season. They had one-score losses to Oklahoma State, to Baylor when Baylor was decent, and to Kansas State. All good teams. Who's to say they can't win at Texas Tech? I mean, they beat Texas Tech like, what, 1-0 last year?
With Patrick Mahomes.
Yes. They can certainly beat Baylor. Why can't they beat Kansas State? Why can't they hang with West Virginia? It'll be uneven. There are going to be ups and downs. They're not there yet. And they know that, but they've got to keep certain. You can't lose too many more players. That's true, too. But the defense keeps getting better, I think. And I think the offensive line might be fairly decent by the time this season's over with. So not a great team, but I think it's been a very competitive team through five games this season and most of the last half of last season.
I think Matt Campbell's doing this the right way. I explained a little bit earlier the inroads he's made as far as recruiting is concerned, doing it the right way, getting attention the right way as far as social media and getting kids interested, getting them excited around the country. And like Mark mentioned earlier on, people wanted to organize a welcome home, and Matt Campbell put the kibosh on that. I mean, that's directly out of the Hayden Fry psychology book of football 101 right there. I mean, he's saying this is not the top of Everest here for this program. We're gonna do better things.
Right, and he said that right away after that game. It's like, of course you're gonna celebrate and you're gonna enjoy it. It's gonna be the most fun flight home you've ever had, probably. But you've got seven games left, and maybe this will be the summit for this season, but it's not the entire mountain, you know. So I'll be interested to see how they handle the second half of the season. And Campbell's been around nothing but winning his entire life. And I know he's not an old guy, but high school winner, college, he played for a Division III juggernaut. He was at Toledo, and they won 1-1. So there's probably quite a bit of winning that's rubbed off on him, and he has a good idea on the foundation of a winner. And the consensus around the country is that Jimmy Pollard hit a home run with this guy. And I think that Saturday sort of confirmed that in a lot of people's minds.
We've been talking about one remarkable story after another in regards to Iowa State, but the subject of your Sunday column, Brandon Snyder, I was sitting there watching that interception return, and 6 months ago this guy had wrecked his knee. Are you serious? That's one remarkable story as well, isn't it?
Yep, absolutely. I talked to his dad after the game, and his dad told me that he had talked to Chad Greenway recently. And Greenway is from South Dakota, which is very close to where Brandon Snyder's from. Snyder's in the very northwest corner of Iowa,
close
to Sioux Falls. And Greenway was talking to Snyder's dad, and Greenway had that ACL. And Greenway said, you know, I really wasn't really right to go until about 8 or 9 months, so I hope you're doing the right thing. And Snyder's dad just said, you know, I know my son, and he's ready. And he was. And, it's crazy. It was that as soon as it happened, he basically became a student of knee injuries, what you have to do before the surgery, what you have to do after the surgery, and he attacked it. And it's not one of those deals where you can take the weekend off. You've got to do it every day, the rehabbing. And it's hard. It's thankless. It's lonely. You're not a part of the team. You don't feel like you're part of the team. But and some guys have a hard time getting through it. He attacked it. And to do what he did in that game, and it wasn't just the pick six. I mean, he was playing good, solid, fundamental football from the get-go, breaking up passes and being in the right place. And I saw him, you know, moving some of his secondary colleagues around on the field. He's only got 1 year of playing experience in college ball. But last season, you know, he burst his way into the starting lineup. I'm talking about actually playing a lot. So he burst his way in the starting lineup as a sophomore, and he got picked on several times in the first half of the year, but by the second half of the season, he was a pretty good player. And it was a significant loss, and it's a significant gain to have him back.
Yeah, and one of the reasons his dad was there is because younger brother was there on a recruiting visit, and apparently he's a heck of a player for West Lyon up there. Michael Loss joining us, 347, here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class, here on KGYM on 1600 AM here this afternoon. And Mike, another uneven Iowa performance. Hawks have been making great adjustments at halftime, though, because the third and especially the fourth quarters they've wore people out, and they wore a young Illinois team out on Saturday likewise.
Yeah, it was like the North Texas game. The first half was sort of, you know, what's this? But they closed out the first half well, thanks to a fake punt. And they capitalized, and but it's 17-13, and Illinois got the ball at the 22-yard line when they throw the bad pass, and Snyder returns it for the touchdown, and then the thing just completely got out of control fast. You know, they won the game by 29 points, so there isn't anybody in Hawkeye land who wouldn't have taken that before the game started. It was pretty good ball game for the Hawkeyes. I mean, yeah, there were frustrations in the first half, but they regrouped, and Stanley had what I thought was a nice game. The offensive line looked a lot better than it had in recent weeks. The changes made to that line seemed to have a positive impact. Sean Welsh got to go back where he's really good, which is guard, and I think that helps make the whole line sort of come together a lot better. And the Mount Vernon freshman Tristan Wirfs came in, and I didn't watch him every play, but the times that I did try to focus on him, it didn't look like the Illinois defenders were moving him whatsoever. So I think that they've got a real good one there, and this line might be pretty good by the time the November rolls around.
I find it very interesting, Mike, that in the first six games we have seen Iowa execute a successful onside kick, a successful fake field goal, and a successful fake punt. I'm not sure that's ever happened, but you know what?
Every
opponent has that in the library right now and has to think about it.
Right. And something else that I was thinking about this weekend, and I flushed it out today, but in four out of Iowa's six games, it has scored touchdowns in the final minute of the first half. And what that tells me is a couple of things. A, that the quarterback is pretty good. First-year quarterback with 15 touchdown passes and two interceptions. Hasn't been perfect. How in the world would he have been? But 15 and 2 and four touchdown passes in the last minute of first halves. And secondly, it tells me that the offensive coordination has been good, because there a problem area for this program historically, in my mind, has been clock management. And that hasn't seemed to have been an issue a single time through six games. And when they get the ball on late in the first half, it seems like it doesn't matter where they're starting from. They maximize their time and they get the most out of it.
Good time for a bye for this Iowa football team?
Yeah, I think right in the middle of the season it is a good time.
I do too.
Yeah. And look, you still have, James Daniels has been a little ouchy at center this season, and Boone Meyer certainly has been, offensive lineman. They ought to be able to get themselves in, you know, proper working order, I guess, for the second half run. And Snyder, you know, a week without a game is not going to hurt him. A chance to practice, but not to take a physical beating. Two more weeks to get stronger. So, yeah, I think it's a good time, 6 weeks. And then it's been kind of a tough 6 weeks, tougher than you would have expected, because Wyoming didn't turn out to be as fierce as we thought it would be, but that was still a closer game than you realized. It was 24-3, but it was it was 7-3 until the last minute of the first half. And then that North Texas game was more of a sweat than they thought it would be, or it should have been. And then you play Penn State and Michigan State back-to-back. I think you got a tougher goal from Illinois, maybe, than some people would have thought. And so as well as the physical grind, I think the mental grind is probably to a point where it's good to just back off for a week.
What'd you make of Michigan State beating Michigan, Mike?
I was surprised, but Michigan's quarterback situation's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Spate's out for the year.
Yeah, I mean, they're very ordinary at that position. And you look in their own division and you see JT Barrett and Trace McSorley. How are they going to beat those guys? You know, I don't know. So, in hindsight, yeah. But, what it looks like to me is that Iowa has got the three toughest teams from the East on its schedule. It already played two of them, and it's got Ohio State to go.
Yeah. And that's why, as Mark says all the time, you can't put those polls out until the mid part of October or the end of October.
Well, but this is the crazy thing. In the coaches' poll, Michigan is still six spots higher than Michigan State.
Explain that.
Well, I can explain it. Russia.
Fake news.
It's all fake news. All right. Well,
Mike Loss is not fake news.
No,
though.
He is not okay. Fake news. And he's got great stuff online at thegazette.com. Anything you're working on this week you want to let the folks know about?
Well, I was going to try and back off a little bit on the bye week, but I'm, you know what? I wasn't going to go to Ames because I thought that the Kansas-Iowa State game was going to be of minimal interest. But then Iowa State goes and beats Oklahoma, and I'm thinking I might want to try and get over there.
Yeah. All right, sounds good. Follow him on Twitter at Halas and thegazette.com. Mike, always appreciate it. Have a great week, man.
Same to you guys.
All right, 3:54. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up on the Gym Class, KGYM.
I ride my bike to work, pack an organic lunch with produce I buy locally. It's all good, but face it, green living can cost a little more. Here I am saving the planet, and my wife hassles me because we don't have savings for a rainy day. So I go to Dupaco for a free money makeover. They recycle all my loans into one easy payment that saves enough green to fertilize my savings account and even help me kick a little back to my community. Dupaco's cooperative thinking puts money to work locally by providing friends and neighbors low-cost loans, funding for small businesses, and more. With Dupaco's sustainable money methods, you can save the planet, save your marriage, and still save a little extra for fundraisers in your neighborhood.
Enriching lives through sustainable money methods. Some call that smart money.
I call it bright green.
Dupaco Community Credit Union. Federally insured by NCUA.
Save.
Borrow. Invest.
Ensure. Trust.
When something bad happens, you don't want to get sucked into the black hole of voicemail. And you certainly don't want to tell your story over and over each time you're transferred. What you want is a kind, smart person who knows your coverage top to bottom, understands how you're feeling, and helps you figure out what's next. It's really not too much to ask. At Skogman Carlson Insurance, you have a person. A real one. Get to know yours at youhaveaperson.com. Supported by Integrity Insurance.
Have you seen the Johns lately at TCB Pool Hall? No, not the two guys at the bar. I'm talking about the restrooms. No joke, 5 stars. But enough about that. TCB is a pool hall with 10 full-size tables you can rent by the hour, so you can play as long as you want. There are always interesting drink specials. I mean, you've got to have something to sip on between shots, right? Play pool, drink cold beer, use the John at TCB Pool Hall on the Pedball next to Mondo Saloon, downtown Iowa City.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class, KGYM.
Into the program here today. We're on 1600 AM. We don't know what we'll be on tomorrow because it just depends. Astros with a 4-3 lead, still batting top of the ninth inning at Fenway. If the Astros hold on, they will advance to the American League Championship Series, I believe, for the first time ever as a member of the American League. National League, they were last in the Championship Series in 2005 when they went to the World Series and fell to the White Sox. And so the Astros 3 outs away. Cubs right now scoreless, but Washington with a first and third with 2 out, top of the third inning right now. That at Wrigley Field against Jose Quintana. And we'll keep you updated on that. It's on 107.5, 106.3 FM. Remind the folks about our Emil's Hideaway poll question again.
I will indeed. You can find it at KGYMradio.com. Was last Saturday's win in Norman the biggest in Iowa State history? Yes or no? We'll give you the results during the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn.
I think it's a bigger win than the Oklahoma State win just because of the fact that Matt Campbell's trying to establish things here. That Oklahoma State win that kept Brandon Whedon and the Cowboys out of the national championship hunt was pretty special in Ames. But this one's got more behind it, I think, because Iowa State's building. Iowa State had been to bowl games under Paul Rhodes when they won that game.
Mm-hmm. Earl Bruce had some big ones over top 10 teams back in the 70s. There have been other very nice wins over top 10 teams.
Dan McCarney has had some.
Nothing like this one.
Nothing like this one as well. All right. Stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next. More on the Iowa State-Oklahoma game and Iowa and Illinois and the baseball as well. And again, coming up tonight, Cyclone Call-In Show at 7 o'clock. That'll be on 1600 AM, just past 7 o'clock. Vikings and your Bears tonight as well, Mark. And that'll be at 7 o'clock on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, barring a marathon baseball game. And then we've got the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks tonight, 1600 AM, and that will be at about 8:35. So a lot to get to.
All baptism right. Of Mitch Trubisky. See you tomorrow.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid AIR is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid AIR has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing